Marine Police, what's your emergency?
There was a shot fired at the Taco Bell on Broadway.
We don't have a Taco Bell on Broadway, is it?
I'm on Overland, I'm sorry.
A 911 call from a witness who saw a man get shot and killed during an attempted robbery in the drive-thru of the Taco Bell on Overland Avenue in Lorain Sunday night.
That's what I'm thinking happened is he tried to rob his people and kill the people in the car in front of us.
I was shocked. It's one thing to hear about someone that close passing away. It's another thing to read your family name.
Police identify the victim as 49-year-old Robert Ganizak of Lorain.
He was adopted by my parents when he was a baby. I didn't join the family until I was 5. We grew up together on a farm, actually in Amherst.
Peter Ganizak is Robert's estranged younger brother and lives about a block away from that Taco Bell.
We grew up doing like normal brothers things. As he grew older, he grew farther apart. We lost that connection.
Now, police say Ganizak was lying in the drive-thru by the time that officers arrived. An eyewitness says that the suspect then took off on foot, heading south down Oberlin, and was last seen headed towards Tower Boulevard. Police say the suspect was last seen wearing a matching outfit with tan camouflage pants. They believe he is armed and dangerous.
Someone that you grew up with. I mean, we milk cows together. You know, we weeded the garden together. We used to fight over who had to cut more grass because we lived on a big farm. So it's a little bit weird. I don't even know if it's really set in.
Police told me that the shooter didn't know the victim, Robert Ganizak. So, Leon, this really could have been anyone going through this drive-thru last night just around 11 o'clock. And you can probably see behind me, the restaurant is still open today. There's still been a steady flow of customers going through this drive-thru right past the area that Ganizak was shot and killed. Robert Nisak's friends told me he was helping a friend with a Sunday paper route, stopping at Taco Bell before heading out Sunday night. He never could have prepared for what happened when he pulled into the drive-thru. A man ran up to the car, took what he could. That's when Ganizak got out and was shot.
Crime of opportunity that resulted in a completely innocent person being killed.
Police are looking for the man who pulled the trigger. Witnesses gave a description. It's vague, but we're sharing for public safety concerns.
A black male, probably around 6 foot tall, yellow or tan shirt, khaki or tan pants. The person who did this is quite clearly a very dangerous person.
Devil We Know contains graphic content and intense subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, every city, every town, every neighborhood, every street, there is a devil we know. This is Devil We Know. I am your host, Aaron. Lorain, Ohio, which is located on Lake Erie, about 30 miles west of the city of Cleveland. It has a population of roughly 64,000 people, which makes it the 10th biggest city in Ohio. It is your typical Rust Belt city, with many corporations leaving town, such as American Shipbuilding, Ford Motor Company, Lorain Assembly Plant, and the United States Steel Corporation. This has led to population decline and an increase in poverty, which is roughly at 26%. That is higher than the national average. Based on FBI crime data, Lorain is not one of the safest communities in America. Relative to Ohio, Lorain has a crime rate that is higher than 91% of the state's cities and towns of all sizes. Lorain was home to Samuel Little at one point, an American serial killer who was convicted of the murders of 3 women in California between 1987 and 1989. Little is also suspected of having killed people in 9 other states starting in the 1970s. He claims to have killed as many as 93 people. Investigators have linked him to at least 34 murders. Lorain does have many beautiful areas, though, and fun activities to take part in. With the lake easily accessible, there's plenty of fishing and fishing charters to take part in, You can explore different parks around the lake. It is quite beautiful by all accounts. Robert Gniezak was one of Lorraine's hardworking citizens. Robert was born July 7th, 1967, in Phoenix, Arizona, and then moved to Lorraine County at the age of 5. Robert and his brother Daryl were adopted and grew up in Lorraine County together. Robert went on to serve in the United States Navy from 1986 to 1990. He then went on to marry Melissa, who I was extremely lucky enough to talk to. I'll let Melissa tell you about Robert and who he was as a person. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on to Devil We Know and discussing Robert's case with us. Can you tell us a little bit about Robert's childhood?
Okay, he was adopted when he was 5 to Pat and Frank Gniezak, and he was adopted with his biological brother. His name was Daryl, and they don't know exactly the whole story of why they got taken from their family. Several rumors had surfaced, but nothing was actually confirmed, but it was a closed adoption case from Children's Services. And then he lived with them from the time he was 5 until the time he was 18.
What was life like for him after age 18?
He went straight from 18, he went straight into the military. He was in the U.S. Navy, and he served on the USS Ogden, yes, the USS Ogden, for 4 years. He went on several WestPACs, which I never heard of, but it is when you cross the equator into the other side of the world. I think that's kind of cool. And he did 4 of those. He was stationed in Long Beach, California. And he was a third-class boatswain mate and a line tender for when ships would come in, when he would come into port.
Then where did life take Robert after his time in the Navy was over?
He came back home, and his parents did not approve of his lifestyle because he had began smoking and drinking, and his parents were very religious. So he ended up on his own in Lorraine, Elyria, North Ridgeville area. And he had worked several fast food jobs and factory jobs most of his adult life.
I've read that Robert had a hard time seeing, which will come into play later in the episode. I asked Melissa about this loss of vision, when it happened, and everything that came with it.
That was a question that could never really be answered. He had always had glasses. The papers that I read, if I read them correctly, his biological parents never fed him properly, if I'm reading the papers correctly. So he didn't get the nutrients as a child, and he always had like balance issues. He always had that the issue of where that fine line between fantasy and reality is, and he always had vision problems. So nobody knows if it was related to that, but he had worn glasses since he was a kid. And progressively over the years, it's always gotten worse.
Was Robert able to drive a car at all during his lifetime?
Yes. Yes, he was able to drive in my opinion, not very good, but that's just my opinion. And he liked driving, but then it got to a point where sometimes, especially at night, he did not. And that's where I kind of came in to play, and I love driving, so that worked out for us.
Melissa, please tell us how you and Robert met.
He was working at Burger King in North Ridgeville. One of my friends happened to be working there, and she had to go in that day, this one particular day. And we were just getting ready to leave her house, and her mom called and said her brother had been rushed to the hospital and his appendix burst, and, you know, it was going to have emergency surgery. So we had to go up there and tell her work that she wasn't coming in. So I go in with her, and she goes in the back, and Robert is standing there and goes, "Who's your friend?" And she looks up and she goes, "Oh, that's my friend Missy." And he goes, "I'm going to marry her one day. She is beautiful." And about 3 months later, I ended up working at that Burger King because I ended up moving in with my friend and we were sharing a house. And that was my part-time job. And we started talking, and one thing led to another. And we had our first date on a golf course that is no longer open.
That is an awesome story. And it really shows the kind of confidence Robert had in himself. We will be right back after these messages.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Wait, why does it have to be dark and stormy?
Yeah, why can't it be daytime and clear skies?
Oh, for f*** sakes.
Join us bi-weekly on Coast to Ghost as we take a trip cross-country digging up the ghost of your state.
Drinks are included and pants are optional.
You can listen to Coast to Ghost on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to get spooked?
The night of August 14th, 2016, is the night that would change the life of everyone that knew Robert. He was the passenger in a car that night. He was helping some colleague deliver the Lorain newspaper, the Morning Journal. I was curious as to why he wasn't driving that night, so I asked Melissa if Robert was no longer driving.
No, he was not driving at all at this point in time. He had lost his license. And we were actually, I was actually helping him trying to get it back because he had delivered pizza for, I don't remember, one of the pizza places. And somebody had said that there was a pole that he had hit. And here it was the illuminating company's light pole. And I took pictures of our car. And there's no damage to the car. Well, you can't hit one of those light poles and not cause damage. So we had been fighting back and forth because they're saying, well, our pole is knocked down. You have to replace it. Okay. If he knocked it down with that car would not have been drivable. And I mean, I've seen some pretty bad accidents. And these poles are not just laid on the ground or sat on the ground, you know, they are dug deep. So he at that point did not have a license.
Melissa, can you explain to us what happened the night of August 14th, 2016?
At this point in time, we had been separated for a while because we loved each other, but we were better friends than being together. And so we had separated, and he had his own apartment, and I had my house. And he was with his friend, who a female friend, and he was working at Kmart here in Lorain. He had gotten off, and she delivered newspapers, and so did I. We all delivered the same newspapers, and he would help me out. He would help her out. But that night, he got picked up by her, and that's when they went to Taco Bell on Overland Avenue. And from what I am told is he got out of the car to read the menu board because his friend, she could not read very well. So he was reading the menu board to her, and they were ordering. He came around the car, and a medium-build black man who had a mask over his face, and the only thing you could see was his eyes because he had a hat on, said, "Give me all your money." And Robert said, "I don't have any money." And, you know, nobody carries money anymore. And he's like, "Give me all your money." And he looked down in the car and told his friend, "Give me all your," and he used some cuss words, "money." And Robert pulls out his debit card and says, "I will give you my card and I can give you the PIN number. Just, you know, nobody carries money anymore." And he goes, "Give me all your effing money or I'm shooting you." And he shot him. And the lady behind them happened to be a nurse from Mercy Hospital, which is our hospital here. And this guy took off running. And she tried to do CPR and realized he was already dead. And the coroner, I had talked to him. He had made mention that the bullet pierced pierced both of his chambers of his heart and through his lung and lodged in his back. He said he probably felt like he got punched, and he said he was probably dead before he even hit the ground. I was delivering newspapers, and I had to go to a gas station. That was one of my first stops. And the guy at the gas station sat there and said, "When you guys get down that way, be careful. You know, there's all those cops down at Taco Bell. Somebody said there was a shooting." And I'm like, "Oh, that's never good." And I said, "Why would somebody shoot somebody in Taco Bell?" Not knowing what was going to happen. And I've always had a fondness for police officers. So I grabbed my phone and I put it on my lap and I turned the camera on, you know, getting ready to take pictures. And my phone slides off of my lap. I still say to this day that was intervention. As we are driving by Taco Bell, I see all the police cars, caution tape, everything. And I am about halfway done with my route, and my phone rings. Now, you know, nobody calls at 3:30 in the morning. And here it's the police department. And it is Detective Ryan Denman from the Lorain Police Department. And he said, is this Melissa? I said, yes. And he said, I need you to come into the Lorain Police Department. He said, I have to discuss something with you that is very important. I said, okay, well, I'm at work right now. Can I come in at 6? Because that's about what time I'd be done with delivering the papers. He said, I can come to you. Where are you? And I was in a parking lot. And he said, okay, sit there. I will be there in just a few minutes. So I call my friend because I'm like, something's not right. And I have a Lorain police officer pull in front of me and then a Lorain police officer pull behind me. And then another little car pull into the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, I know I have a seatbelt ticket that I haven't paid yet, but, you know, what's going on? He gives me his business card and, you know, asks who I am, who I'm married to. And he says then that there has been an accident and Robert had gotten shot. And I just looked at him and I said, he's dead. It's from Taco Bell, isn't it? I just knew. And he goes, well, yes, ma'am. And I just kind of sat there kind of numb. And I'm like, okay. Because I'm not sure how to feel about it. You know, it's somebody who I love. It's somebody who I've spent, you know, quality private time with. But we also had that love-hate relationship. And so then I got all the information from him that he knew at that moment. And I also then had to tell him or ask him if he could not make this public yet because I had to tell his family. And after they left, I called my boss, said, I can't do the papers now. And I went out to where his brother was. He was at the Avon Rehab Hospital because his brother had his left leg amputated about 3 weeks prior to this. So he was at a rehabilitation center. Now, me and his brother did not get along. So when he saw me walk in, he knew something was wrong. And I said, well, I have to tell you something. I said, you know, I'm a straight shooter. I don't candy coat anything. I said, there's been an accident. And he goes, obviously it's about Robert. And I go, yes. And he said, okay, you wouldn't be here if it was just a minor accident. I said, no, he has died. So then I told him everything. And that was pretty much what happened for the next couple of days, except for a lot of reporters who wanted to know what kind of information I knew about it.
With the help of witnesses at the Taco Bell, they were able to tell police specifically what they saw. A medium-built black male, roughly 6 feet tall, that was wearing possibly some type of camouflage. The color of that camouflage is a little bit in question, but regardless, it wasn't a lot to go on. There was no DNA that we know of. There were no cameras at this Taco Bell, or at least none in the area of the drive-thru. So there was no video evidence of the crime. I was curious about if any new information has come about. Here's what Melissa knows.
No. Now, they had questioned a few people. A few names had come up. And the one name that kept popping up every once in a while was in our county jail. And the police department actually did go and pull him out and talk to him. And he said, oh, yeah, I did it. And this is how I did it. And this is what I did and everything like that. And they said, well, okay, you couldn't have done it this way because this is what had happened. This is, you know, this is where the body laid. This is where this was. This is where this was, you know. So they dismissed that gentleman.
Robert was shot and killed in a Taco Bell parking lot by a man trying to rob him and his work colleague in the middle of the night. This man is still out there, and somebody knows something. This man is obviously very dangerous. I'm sure this isn't the first time he has robbed or hurt someone. Nobody can be sure if he hasn't even killed again. The Lorain Police Department and Taco Bell are offering together a $15,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest. Anyone with information should call 440-204-2105. Lorain, there is a devil in your community. He is walking the streets right now. Make the call. Thank you for listening to Devil We Know. I will be back next week. I'm going to be taking a break from cold cases for a while. I'm really excited for what we have in store for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. Please follow me on Twitter at DevilWeKnowPod. And until next time, keep your head on a swivel and stay safe. All right. Our unsigned band this week is all the way from London, England. They go by the name Hawks. That is spelled H-A-W-X-X. Kind of unique. The members Anna, Hannah, Jess, and Iman are a metal-laced heavy rock band that will absolutely blow your mind. They have a new single out called The Lie. Here it is. Their information will be found in the show notes. I hope you enjoy.